often misunderstood or not really brought into play. Oftentimes we talk about inner strength as something that the believer needs to conjure up within us to keep in our to keep vibrant in our daily lives. But I believe in the New Testament, the role of the Spirit works in our midst to strengthen us in the inner man, as it says in Ephesians 3, and also to begin to develop within us the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, and peace. Very, very important. A transparent working of the Spirit. I always see there's this overt working of the Spirit through the gifts, then there's a transparent working, within us, where you may not really see it, but it's in there, but you see it through the development of character, of personal strength. The final aspect of the Spirit that I think is very, very important is the boldness to proclaim truth. You see in the gospel, in the book of Acts, that when the Spirit was there, those men proclaimed the truth with great clarity and boldness, to the point where you could do anything to me, but I'm going to proclaim the truth. To the point where it's beyond just rhetorical skill to preach. Without the presence of the Spirit to give you that, I guess, extreme boldness in the face of adversity, without the Spirit, then our preaching becomes merely just skillful things you learn, which is not bad. You want to be skillful. You don't want to be boring. But the place of the Spirit adds that intangible element from above that just brings your teaching, I think, from another plane.
Aren't we so glad that we have the person of the Holy Spirit? There's so many things that we forget about when we try to think about the person of the Holy Spirit. And I'm so glad that you're here this morning. I want to finish our series on In the Gap. There's been so many times during this series where we've seen people in Scripture stand in the gap for others. We have seen them stand in the gap for entire nations of people, entire groups of people. Sometimes, like last week, we saw a person stand in the gap, and it did not necessarily change the outcome. It did, in one respect, the people were not disowned and killed, but it did not change the fact that they would not see the land as Moses stood in the gap for the nation of Israel. This morning, as we talk, we're going to be in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, and if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, turn there. And I'm going to talk to you as you're turning there about a few things that you probably know and a few things you might not want to be reminded of. Have you ever had one of those moments where you roll over, you wake up, Lord willing, praise the Lord, you wake up first and foremost, and then you roll over, and before your feet ever touch the floor, I'm going to exclude some people in the room for a moment. Before your feet ever touch the floor, you realize that things hurt. You ever had one of those moments? Maybe you just finished putting in a hard day of work where you were digging ditches or putting together a project or moving or putting together a, pick your project. You can do all kinds of things to make yourself sore. Usually it's the ones that where we're working over our head where we realize, man, I'm really sore. Maybe you suffered a fall and you realize that before your feet ever touch the floor, you just hurt. I'm sore because I've fallen. Maybe you have previous injuries or maladies that plague you. Notice I didn't ever say old injuries or things. But you just hurt. You get the picture? Do you realize that from the moment we are conceived, from that moment on, from the moment that our heart takes its first beat, it is already on a time clock. Think about that for just a moment. from the very first time it beats. It's got a clock. Nobody knows how long it will last. God knows. We do not know. But from the moment we are born, we are in a state of decay. You say, well, Brother Adam, that seems kind of harsh, doesn't it? I mean, you have teenagers in the room and little ones in and out of the room this morning that have their whole lives in front of them, so we think. But we are all breaking down from the moment it starts till the moment it ends. You say, well, Brother Adam, why would you be saying that? That's kind of harsh. And I say, yes, it is. It's life. It's reality. It's our flesh. Our flesh and our bones and our veins and our arteries will one day fail us. And so from the time we are born, and we look at it in this way in our physical lives, 20, 30, 50, 70, 100 years from the time we were born, that wasn't the very first time our heart took a beat, but from that moment when we start counting, you say, our physical lives, how do we feel when we are that far along in our age? How do we feel whenever we are 104? You say, well, feelings just to say to mind. Ask that person that's 104 how they feel. Maybe they feel great, but I guarantee you their body is breaking down. That is our physical reality that we live in. Do you realize that from the moment we, our faith intersects with God being God, and we call on Him as Savior and Lord, and we say we want to, Him to be our Savior and our Lord, from that moment on, we often view our spiritual lives in the same window? That from that moment on, it doesn't get any better from there. You think about that. The moment of our conversion as a believer, we say, God, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be the Savior and Lord of my life. From that moment on, you remember all the hope that comes with that? All of the promise that comes with that? We have an entire spiritual life ahead of us. Now I want you to talk to a believer in the room that's 50, 70, 100 years along in their journey. How do they feel? What should they feel? And I think we often confuse the two things with our physical reality that our bodies are going to break down and fail us, and our spiritual reality that we are His and His alone. And then 100 years from the time of our conversion as a believer in Christ Jesus, we look at each other and go, man, I'm so tired. Are you talking physical or spiritual? I'm just tired. That's why I'm glad you're here this morning, because Romans 8 addresses that reality. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 26. You can stand for the reading of God's word if you would like. Romans 8, 26 says this, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Father, thank You for this, Your divine word. Father, I pray this morning that You might intercede with groanings that we do not even know how to say. God, as we search this text, as we search Your heart and Your mind, God, would we have the help from the Holy Spirit as an intercessor for us this morning? God, that we might be prompted to action in our faith. God, that we might be changed because of what we know about You. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tony Evans tells the story of himself as whenever he was a little boy. He doesn't give exactly the age, but he says, when I was a little boy, we used to sit down at the dinner table when we used to have fried chicken night. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Except for Cain, he works at Chicken E. I know. All right? I'm sorry. He can put out some good chicken, though. I watched him. I watched him through the window make gravy one day. It was fantastic. That was what you were doing, right? That big, okay, never mind. Tony Evans tells a story of as a little boy having chicken night, and he would be called on to pray for his family meal, as sometimes we do with our children. And during that prayer, his mind would begin to wander, because on the table sits a bucket full of chicken that's fried and good and hot and a little greasy, but crunchy on the outside and warm and moist on the inside, and it is delicious, and his mind would begin to wander. I know, right? We just need some food, don't we? His mind would begin to wander, and then his body would begin to wander with his mind, and so his hand would begin to wander from where it was at to the plate as he was praying. Now, in that moment, he was no longer thinking about God, the Spirit, the prayer, or anything. All he was able to think about was his own hunger and his own need to satisfy that hunger. And our minds will tell us what our bodies will do. And so his mind was telling him, you've got to get to that chicken thigh. And so he would want to reach out and grab it, to which his parents would say, don't do that. Now, I often think sometimes that when we look at our spiritual lives, we have the same problem. I know I do. When you sit down to think about our prayer life, when we think about what we are to be praying, how many times do we sit down in our prayer lives and the beginning of our prayer starts like this: God, I need. Or God, I want. Or God, would you do this? When was the last time that you and I addressed God in a prayer, put him in his right place, in his right size, in his right context, and said, Father, and then waited for him to speak? And just wait and let him intercede for us. Because so often our prayer lives look like that, and mine does too, and I am guilty of this just like all of you, I think. Where I sit down and I begin to pray, and I pray for something specific. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I begin to pray for a specific person or a specific need, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I feel like every time, have you ever had that friend that every time they call you, you know they're calling you just because they need something? Maybe you have that person, maybe you don't. Or maybe it's been a while since that person called you, but they may call you today, and you look at your phone and say, what does he want this time? Or what is he going to ask for this time? I feel like if God were a human, he might look at us in the same way in our prayer lives and say, man, in their weakness and in their puniness and in their flesh and their bone and their blood and their veins and their arteries, what do they need this time? Romans 8:26 tells us that God does not see us in that light because we have the help of the Holy Spirit. In the same way, the Spirit helps in our weakness. This is beyond that. This is beyond our flesh and our bones and our bodies decaying and our bodies breaking down and our minds beginning to wonder about chicken and about this and about the task of tomorrow and about what we've got to do today and about what ever else can fill our minds whenever we pray. You think about that. There's so many things that are going on in our lives that when we actually sit down to be quiet and shut it all down and push it all aside and address the God of all creation, you think about that for just a moment. How many other things flood into our minds Can we really shut it all down? Can we really push it all to the side? Should we actually push it all aside? I'd say no, there is some balance there between what is actually happening and what our needs actually are, because we do actually have needs, and we should take them to the Lord of all creation, and we should go there with our prayer lives. And sometimes there are things that are so difficult and so foreign to us and so hard that we need Romans 8:26. That's one of those verses that you could just plaster on your bathroom window or put it at the refrigerator before you go eat the chicken. Romans 8:26. Because this is beyond all of that. When we cannot spiritually come up with the words to say, we cannot physically, like Tony Evans, come up with the idea of my mind says this, so my body does this, and reach for chicken. Whenever my mind can't think, when my body cannot function, whenever I am spiritually weak, Romans 8:26. When there is nothing else to be done in a situation, Romans 8:26. When I am at the end of my rope, heard that before? When I am at the end of my rope, tie a knot with Romans 8:26 and hang on. Because the Spirit intercedes for us. Now look at verse 27. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Christ intercedes for us on the other side of eternity. Think about that for a moment. Jesus Christ went to the cross and suffered a death that none of us wanted to do, that none of us could have done, to pay a debt that none of us could have paid, so that he could intercede for us on the other side of eternity, so that when our bodies finally do fail us, we have Christ as an intercessor that grants us eternal life with God the Father. Christ did that for us. For the other side of eternity. Now, on this side of eternity, we also have someone that intercedes for us. It is the person of the Holy Spirit. So just as Christ intercedes for us on the other side of eternity, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us now. And so we have this idea that as we struggle with the limitations of our flesh and the limitations of our bodies and the limitations of our earthly side of eternity, we need help. Romans 8:26 and 27. For all of these years, most of us as good Baptists shy away from the person of the Holy Spirit. We're afraid that we might become charismatic. Y'all want me to go running down the aisle? I get a Holy Ghost wedgie and just go right on down the... Can I say that, Brother Don? I'm sorry. I told our staff this week, the longer I'm up here, the more likely I am to say something that I regret. We run away from it, though, because we are afraid of it sometimes, because we see the other side of that coin, where it's not just somebody that's interceding, but somebody that has gotten... I see people full of the Spirit in Scripture, and they're still able to keep their mind about them. And so we often do not deal with this. We often do not talk about this. But there's something in verse 27 that matters to all of that conversation. Because if the Holy Spirit is going to intercede for us, and we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, and the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if we're going to allow that to happen, and we're going to be intercessed for, can I use that verb? We're going to be stood in the gap for by the Holy Spirit, then there's something in verse 27 that we have to underline in our Bibles. Maybe you don't mark in your Bible, that's okay. I have markings and coffee stain and all kind of stuff in my Bible, it's okay. Look at verse 27 again, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes for the saints. And what does the end of that verse say? Say it for me, church. According to what? According to the will of God. And so this is the beauty of all of this. This is the beauty of Romans 8, 26 and 27, because in 26 we learn that the Spirit helps our weakness. So in our weakness we get an intercession from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit stands in the gap for us, and as the Holy Spirit stands in the gap for us and we become weaker and weaker and weaker, the Holy Spirit comes in to stand in the gap for us. And in that moment when the Holy Spirit is standing in the gap for you and for me, we are as close to the will of God as we will ever get. And so it pays to get weaker. I am weak, but thou art strong. That's how the song goes. But there's actually some scriptural truth to that. Because in the moment that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, the Holy Spirit cannot do anything but intercede for us according to the will of God. And so as we are being stood in the gap for by the Holy Spirit, we are closest to the will of God. You want to know God's will for your life? You want to know God's will in a situation? You want to know God's will in everything? Get weak. That's tough. That's tough for us as humans. That's tough for us because we want to be strong and we want to do everything that we can in our own strength and in our own power to do everything possible to make it right or to make it our way. When God says, just let it go. The weaker you get, the better I get, because the Holy Spirit is going to intercede for you. In the beginning of Romans chapter 8, all the way up to this point, basically the first 17 verses, Paul gives us a scenario where we have a glorious life in Christ, yet we live in an imperfect, limited Christian life because we live it out in the flesh. The Holy Spirit comes violently into the center stage of our lives in that moment. Anybody in the room weak this morning? It's okay to shake your head yes. It is okay to acknowledge that weakness, because in that moment you can ask for the help from the Holy Spirit, and in that moment the Holy Spirit stands in the gap for you and stands in the gap for me, and we all become closer to the will of God than we've ever been before. Why? Because we're not doing it on our own strength anymore. The Holy Spirit brings about transformation on this side of eternity, not perfection. We will never reach that state of perfection until we're on the other side of eternity, where Christ intercedes for us. But while we're here, and while we're breathing, and while we're working, and while we're trying to love people, and while we're trying to do things with people, and while we're trying to be the church for people, the Holy Spirit says, I've got you. If you'll just let yourself become weak enough where I can get in the door. If you'll just let yourself go enough to say, I don't need to do this on my own anymore, God. I need desperately the help of the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit gladly comes in and stands in the gap for us. And in that moment, we are in the will of God. Our physical bodies might one day shut down. That's going to happen eventually. Unfortunately, for the people that still are left behind. But our spiritual lives don't have to follow suit. Our spiritual lives, our physical lives, let me see if I can do this. Our physical lives are on a trajectory this way, while our spiritual lives should be on a trajectory this way. And I think sometimes we have them both going in the wrong direction. But it doesn't have to be that way. Because as our spiritual lives get weaker and weaker and weaker, and we don't know what to do, we don't know how to pray, we can't function in our spiritual lives, then the Spirit stands in the gap as believers. And in that moment, everything comes into focus. What a day that might be. So when you think that we cannot pray the right words, when you think you don't know what to do, the Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. Sometimes words just don't do a situation justice. And that's okay. Let the Spirit intercede and help our weakness. I love that, help our weakness. When have you ever gone to somebody and say, help me get weaker? When have you ever done that? A coach somewhere just cringed, I know. When have you ever gone into a situation and said, help me get weaker? The Holy Spirit helps that weakness. The Holy Spirit has the opportunity to help us cultivate our weakness. Why? Because the weaker we get, the more the Holy Spirit has a gap to fill. I love that. Romans 8, 26 and 27. As we finish this series, this is kind of where the whole thing begins, with the Holy Spirit standing in the gap for us as believers. And so don't ever forget this week, as we work in our workplaces, as we are in our homes with our families, as we are with our coworkers, as we are with our friends, as we are in the community, there might be times when we don't know what to say and we cannot pray the proper way. That's okay. Lean into that and step into that and say, the gap that I have in my life will never be too big for the Holy Spirit to intercede, because the Holy Spirit is actually helping you in that weakness. Holy Spirit, help us to get weaker today. What a prayer. What a way to start our week. Let's pray this morning. Father, I want to just sit for a moment. I want to just sit and let you speak to your people, to me. God, this week, give us a desire for weakness. It seems like it goes against everything that we ought to be. But God, that is where your strength is. Your strength is found whenever our weakness begins. Because of Romans 8, 26 and 27, as the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, when words cannot be spoken, when words do not do justice to the situation, this is a time for the Holy Spirit to intercede. And God, you delight in that. God, you delight in our weakness. So God, help us to get weaker this week, so that we might call on the strength of the Lord through the person of the Holy Spirit. Hear our prayers this morning. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning as we finish, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity. I don't have any problem with you guys coming to the altar. If you don't want to do that, I certainly understand that. But if you want to come this morning and begin that prayer, maybe you've never thought about praying that kind of a prayer. I want to give you an opportunity to begin that process of getting weaker and weaker. It starts by us stopping, hanging on. As the girls begin to sing and play, this is what I want to do. You can stay in your seat if you're more comfortable with that. If you want to come up here, I want you to do that. I want you to pray that prayer. And then let's see how our week goes. See what the Lord can do in our weakness. Will you join me this morning and just give you a chance to respond?